This week, we're joined by Sean Fish of Urban Stitches. The show is sponsored by the Embroiderers Guild of America and Sassy Jack's Stitchery. The Embroiderers Guild of America members are looking forward to Preserving Needle Art 2024, the EGA's annual seminar. This year, it will be held August 14 to 18 in Atlanta, and registration is open, but you need to act quickly. It closes at noon Eastern on Wednesday, May 15. Make your plans now to participate in one of the true annual highlights in the needle arts world. We also call your attention to the very popular EGA virtual lectures. The next lecture is Finding New Life, Innovative Finishing Techniques for Needlework. The presenter is Patrick Barron, and the lecture is May 19 at 1 p.m. Eastern. Registration opens April 23 and closes May 17. On June 9 at 1 p.m. Eastern, our good friend Krista West of Avlia Folk Embroidery will present Mediterranean Folk Embroidery, a brief tour of a vibrant world. You won't want to miss this one. Registration opens May 20. Use the code FIBERTALK5, that's FIBERTALK and the number 5, when you register to get $5 off a new or recorded lecture. Join EGA now so you don't miss out on these and many other great opportunities to realize more enjoyment from your needle and thread passion. Visit egausa.org for membership details. The grand reopening of the Sassy Jack's retail shop will be May 1. At long last, stitchers will be able to experience the result of countless hours of work to convert the Baird House into one of the most beautiful needlework stores in the country. The grand reopening celebration will continue throughout the month of May. Go to sassyjackstitchery.com and subscribe to the newsletter on the homepage to learn about all of the in-store and online activities that are planned so everyone can celebrate this momentous event. If you act quickly, you can still sign up for the May 4 Zoom workshop with Jeanette Douglas. In the workshop, you'll stitch the sampler Stitches Be Sweet and at least one small project. The workshop will be 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern on May 4 on Zoom. Kim will also follow the workshop with several Zoom stitch-ins. Cost is $250 for linen threads in the class, but act quickly. Do not call the shop for this one. Instead, send email to sjsclasses@gmail.com. Sign up now. An online class with Jeanette Douglas is not to be missed. Thanks to EGA and Sassy Jack Stitchery for sponsoring our show. And now our conversation with Sean Fish of Urban Stitches. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week from Urban Stitches, Sean Fish. Sean, welcome.
Why, thank you for having me.
This is unique artwork. I applaud you. This is really unique. So that this macabre, you know, I've run into people who do macabre, you know, dark side designs. Mm-hmm. And, but you don't, yours isn't always dark side subjects.
And no.
And I love that you put a flavor on regular subjects that really makes it unique. How did this whole approach to needle art come about?
To be honest, I'm self-taught. I decided about 20 years ago, the first project I was going to do was I was going to stitch up a picture of my cat. She was very fluffy, very pretty, and I thought, this is what we're going to do. And it just went downhill from there, really.
Downhill. had you done needlework before? Did you learn early, or?
I've always been arty and crafty. Since high school, I've always dealt with fiber arts, but more as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And decided a few years ago that, right, okay, I needed to be able to have a job from home. And initially, the job was actually chocolatier.
Oh.
Because, obviously, why not?
Wait, I'm on my way over right now. I'll be there in 10.
Yeah, I'm not very good at doing conventional. So first job was, right, okay, let's do chocolatier from home. And the problem was my partner and my children were eating my profits. They learned to walk through my kitchen with hands open, and by the time they'd come out the other end, half of the chocolate had disappeared.
So that's a problem for a business. Yeah,
it is. So after 10 kilo bag of chocolate disappeared, I decided I needed to change career.
Good move.
And I just started thinking about how much enjoyment the original stitch that I'd done brought me. And I started thinking, well, not as a career, but let's hang around in those creative spaces and see what's out there. And I started having a look around, and I thought, well, I love designing. I love being creative. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to create something. And previously it was chocolate. Before that, I worked in the IT industry. So I've always been making things.
Yeah.
And this just led on to, well, let's give it a try. And I started off with cross stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And from cross stitch, I became good friends with several designers who tend towards the more gothic side of nature.
Uh-huh.
And I just picked it up from there, and I thought, well, I saw a stitch which is quite famous, of a cross stitch hummingbird with blackwork background design.
Mm.
And it's from, I'm trying to think of the designer, Anishi Press, I think.
Okay.
They designed this stitch, and it just blew my mind because of the blackwork on it. And I thought, every blackwork piece I'd seen up until this point was traditional. And uh-huh. Nothing wrong with traditional, but it's not what made me get excited. And suddenly this new view of how to use blackwork, I suddenly thought, I can do something with this. This is like all those doodles that I used to do in my books in school.
Yeah.
And it's just been downhill from there.
Now, did you, when you did the cross stitch, was it just the traditional path of buy a kit and stitch it and teach yourself? Oh, no. No, can't do that either.
Oh, jump straight in. No, it was, right, I've got a photo. What do I do? Let's buy some conversion software. Let's go out and buy all the floss. Let's buy the fabric. Let's buy everything. Because I have ADHD. And I have a problem with collecting all the things. Can't do it by half measure. So you've got to start and then just spend an awful lot of money on something that probably could have been done a lot cheaper by someone else.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I've seen that movie. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So is there an art background? I mean, what you do has there's some talent behind that. A lot of talent. Was it an art background or... Do you just have it in your genes?
I just love to create. Okay. I've always needed to draw or using pastels, using any medium I could get my hands on just to make things. So I've always had that drive to have something at the end, which is that creation process is, I find it, really relaxing and very fulfilling.
Okay, so, well, it just amazes me. So you just saw this black work in the background and thought, all right, let's give this a whirl?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Because black work, black work is just not a common technique. There's just not a lot of people do it. And a lot of the top end people is, for a lot, can be pretty intimidating work.
Mm-hmm.
You just dug in and started doing back stitches and seeing what happens.
Yep, basically. It just reminded me of all those little doodles that you do in a corner of a book if you were in a meeting or sitting in class listening to a teacher, and you're paying attention, but you're also having that outlet of, I don't know, just making silly shapes and repeating patterns. and my brain loves patterns.
Okay. So you orient that way, because that's what fascinates. I own three books on black work and have yet to do one piece, but it fascinates me what people can do with those repeating patterns and just thickness of thread.
And
it's just amazing what can be done. And you taught yourself how to do this.
I have, yeah. It's knowing the basic rules and then thinking, well, but what if? What else can I do? Can I layer it? Can I play with depth? Can I play with how dense a pattern is? Can I morph a pattern from one thing to another? And it's just playing with those little intricate things and seeing what the outcome is.
So you have that trait where you have no fear of the question of what if.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Puts you in a fairly small group. Yeah.
I'm kind of niche. even I'll admit that.
No, because people do struggle with that. The question never enters their mind, what if I tried this? And there's a comfort level to just following whatever the original designer has created. I mean, I do it
Absolutely.
All the time, so I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But to ask that question and then act on it is it takes an element of courage, I think.
I probably the case. Courage probably didn't come into it with me because I didn't question it. I just went, this is what we're doing. Let's give it a go. I'm for me, failure isn't a bad thing. It's a, okay, it didn't work this time, but I've learned something from it.
Yeah.
Let's try it slightly differently. And just getting a flavor of what could work. And then just practicing and practicing, really.
Yeah. Well, and I got to believe that mental approach comes from your IT background.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, a lot of trying and failing until you get it to work.
Yeah. And creative ways of making things work.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done everything from database to IT support to IT programming. And the one that I always fall back on is the support side of it and being able to look at something and say, right, I can see the problem. Let's fix this in a creative way. Mm-hmm. And having that creative solving at the end was the thing that kept me coming in every day.
It makes the heart race, huh?
It does, because you get a new problem and sometimes you can't solve it. Sometimes things you just can't solve.
Yeah.
But if you can see something and say, I get that. My brain likes putting connections together.
Mm-hmm.
So having something coming and a lot of people go, well, I don't understand this. And I'm like, no, look, this is the thing that links this to that. And I may not be the one solving it, but I've created that link.
Yeah.
And someone else is then able to say, right, that's what it is. Let's run with that.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. The Gothic part, is that a thing that you, is part of your life, or is it just the way you see the art?
A bit of both, to be honest with you. I live in a Victorian schoolhouse. So I live in the headmistress's house that is attached to the old Victorian school. So it's got some Gothic features and it's a lot of unusual shapes and it's not a standard build.
Uh-huh.
So I live in a village where the local farmers came and built this for the school.
Okay.
So there's not a straight line in the whole house. Everything is... My floors are all over the place. My walls come in and out, and there's no square. And I love that. I love the fact that it's quirky. And so I started to populate the house with some Victorian things. because it's so quirky.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep some of that vibe going. And from there, I made quite a few friends with some gothic crosswork designers. So people like the Witchy Stitcher, Night Spirit Studio, Gloomy Gremlin, lots of people who tend to design a lot more on black.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I switched from white fabric to black fabric, all these ideas started.
That
fizzling.
Was it, huh? That's when. Oh.
That was the one.
Yeah, because most people, when you say stitching on black ground, run for the hills. So,
yeah.
But, that flipped the switch on for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can just, you know, looking at your stuff, because, you know, like I said, most people, a dark background, get me out of here. I can't do it. Is that something that you, after a while, you just adapt to it? Because, I mean, that can be a real struggle.
It can. Every time I stitch something, I try to push myself. So my first stitches were on 14 count white Aida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really comfortable because you know what to expect.
Yeah,
and someone said to me,
that's a nice safe start, yes.
Absolutely. And everyone has to start somewhere. So I went from that to then trying hand-dyed floss. And then the next one was hand-dyed Aida. Then it was, someone said to me, right, for the stuff that you're designing, you should try 28 count, even weave. I was like, oh, that's scary. That's quite a jump from 14 to 28. How do I even do this? And I picked it up, and the first day, it was like, no, don't like this. And the next day I went, but I've started. So come on, do it. So I did it, loved it. Then someone said, you've got to try linen. Well, God, I mean, it's rude not to. Okay, let's try linen. And then the next one was black linen.
Oh, boy.
Come on, then. And it because it's been in incremental steps, it's been small pushes. If I jumped from 14 count white to 28 count black, I would have said, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Too difficult.
Yeah.
But it's that those tiny pushes of, okay, well, the next one, let's do 32 count.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try something different. It's just constantly trying to push myself in both my own stitching and my designing to see, well, what is possible.
Yeah, I'm sensing an element of determination in you. Like, I will not be beaten.
I am my own worst enemy. Everyone, I say to everyone, no, it doesn't matter. If you've made a mistake, fudge it. Just keep going. If you don't need to frog it, keep going. You've got room to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I stitch, I'm like, no, pull it all out. Mine's got to be perfect. But I tell people that mine is the only one that does have to be perfect because mine is the model stitch.
Yes.
Change the colors, change the motifs, do something weird, invert it, stitch the whole thing with white floss on black background.
Uh-huh.
Do it. Just change it up. Be creative. I feed off other people's creativity.
So then you're, in terms of other people, you view your art as a starting point for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it can inspire someone to give something a try, to do something different, to learn, to become a designer, there's enough space at this table for everyone.
Uh-huh.
I'm very much community over competition. I get very excited when I see people starting to have that spark of inspiration and, oh, what could I do? What if?
Yeah. 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 That question needs to be asked more. Yep. Yeah. So the business end of things, did you say, all right, well, your chocolatiering didn't work out because it got eaten up, but did you say this is going to be a business, or did you start designing and then it evolved into a business?
It started off as hanging around in that creative space, looking, not initially for a business idea, but hanging around, needing that other people being creative around me, because mm-hmm. I was working from home. I've got two children, and my youngest, I had to give up work to give extra assistance to. Mm-hmm. And feeling very isolated at home and wanting something to inspire my brain rather than children's TV.
Oh, shoot me. No, not that.
Yeah, there's only so much I can cope with.
Yeah. Give me some aspirin, quick.
Absolutely. And I just needed some creative outlet, because having that isolation, I was seeing other parents, but it wasn't the same sort of interactions that I'm used to from being in the office. Mm-hmm. And I just needed something to fill a gap. And so I just started hanging around in, I don't know why, but in the cross stitch area. I'd done cross stitch for years. I stopped when my children were born because I was far too tired and I stabbed myself far too often. And I thought, nope, need some sleep, need to be able to catch up a bit. And then when I had that space, I thought, right, I miss that outlet. I need something to put here. And I just started hanging around in Facebook groups.
Okay.
And it just went from there, really.
So that's how online, well, you're raising kids. Yeah, we've had two. They're grown now, mm-hmm. but I know, I remember those days. So the online gives you that outlet, that community that you need while you're stuck yes. at home, not stuck, but while you're at home raising kids then.
Yeah. 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 It was that bridge that I needed to people who weren't going to just talk to me about children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you said you had conversion software. So did you start with cross-stitch and photos?
Or? I started with just the one photo of okay. my cat. And that was, I converted it because at the time that was 15 years ago. There wasn't a huge amount of option. I just wanted this image of my cat mm-hmm. because at the time I had her prior to having children. So she was my baby.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, this is what I'll do. I'll do it in the evenings. And I stitched it up and then I fell pregnant and all the stitch got put to one side.
Yep.
And then it came back and I thought, well, I've still got this software. I should probably see if I can update it, if there have been updates. And there had. So I thought, right, I'll download it and I'll just play with it. And it was from there. I don't convert cross-stitch, and I didn't used to apart from that one image. But that was the inspiration of, okay, what else can I do with this software? Mm-hmm. And it's just been one exciting ride after another since then.
Were all your initial designs cross-stitch, or did you go right to blackwork?
I started off with cross-stitch. Okay. A lot of it was text-based.
Oh, okay.
Because I love fonts. I love mm-hmm. playing with fonts. And I love kerning, spacing between letters. And that's where I started off, very much graphic design, poster style stitches. And the problem is the market is saturated for yes. that sort of thing. So yes. I thought, right, I've always admired where you see people producing art, their own art, rather than just, not just lettering, but predominantly letter word-based patterns. I've always admired people producing their own drawings and developing that. And I thought, well, I should push myself. I should look into this. And I thought, I worked on my art, tried it, but I was missing something. It just wasn't sitting where I wanted it to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing that stitch of the hummingbird, I thought, line art. I can do line art. Let's give that a try. And that's how I ended up in blackwork.
Well, the whole words and letters, I mean, there's a handful of people who really have a mastery of mm-hmm. fonts and how and making them artistic.
Yes.
And when you find people who do that, it really works. It's very effective. But most of them are just putting down a saying in a box. And And there's plenty of that, no question. Yeah.
There is, and I was okay at it, but I wasn't good at it.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't fulfilling that need of design for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's you talk about a niche. That's people who are really effective with words are, yeah, there's very few of them. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Often they're graphic design backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You can, as soon as you see it, you can see someone who has worked hard for a long time to perfect what they're doing.
Right. Right. Yeah. But to see that as a graphic designer is one thing, but then to convert that into needlework mm-hmm. is that's a whole different level for me.
Yes,
because I've worked with some graphic artists as a magazine editor, who are very very good with words and with fonts and just exceptional. But you know, you just know there's no way they could take it to the level it needs to be as a needlework piece. Not even a chance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, different thing. So then, so you start playing with this as you're raising kids, and now you start finding other designs. The what if takes off on you, and you start mm-hmm. coming up with these gothic designs. Is that did you start with gothic looks, or did that have to evolve too?
That has been an evolution. my first. Foray into blackwork was 18 plus. There's a few designs that I started off with because it was tongue in cheek.
Uh-huh.
Humor is really important to both myself and my brand.
Mm-hmm.
I started off with a design that made me giggle like a 12-year-old boy. because traditionally, blackwork is very floral motif heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of flowers, and they're beautifully done.
Yeah.
And my first design was based on a a manuscript drawing from the 1200s. There's quite a famous picture, painting of it, of a nun picking peens from a bush.
Okay.
And I thought that was quite funny because I'm not very mature. and that was the first blackwork I did.
All right.
And I did it as a stitch along.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just to say, well, it doesn't always have to be flowers. And I've designed a lot of blackwork flowers since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just a reminder, you don't always have to draw flowers.
I have to say, the cactus piece that you did.
There's not enough cacti in blackwork. I think it's very underrated subject for plants.
Yes, and I enjoyed the immature side of you coming out in that. it's a cactus design. No, wait a minute. There's a little more to it than this. Yeah, just give me a second here.
I can assure you, I've even shown my children my search history when I was doing it. It's all based on cacti. I'm not sure what anyone else sees in it.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You sing that song. Yeah. Go ahead. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I just say well played. Well played on that one. Yep. That's what I say. Yep. Well done. So then, all right. So we have these unique designs, and I love the way like your Christmas. You got some holiday things. And they have that gothic flavor, but it's not it. You found a way to not be dark and evil, but have that flavor and have it work. And it just really fascinated me that you could found a middle ground, if you will, and they work, and it's very effective. I really enjoyed it.
I tend to try and keep it more towards Victorian Gothic.
Mm-hmm.
So it has Gothic flavors to it, but it's not religious. It doesn't have any of those religious connotations to it, pro or against. I just run a line of curlicues and bones and curiosity.
Yeah, well, see, for me, it was a lot of people, a true gothic, dark, macabre designer, you either like it or you don't. But your stuff is approachable no matter where you stand on the subject matter, and I that's what I really it's very well done. Because you've opened the door, I think, for people to do black on black or gray on black and have that that gothic feel to it, but still be an enjoyable piece, an uplifting piece, if you will. Yeah, it's well done. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you also have an element of your business where you convert photos. You're still doing that.
I do it occasionally. Yes, I try, and this again was me trying to push myself to see what limit I could do with black work, and working with density of stitches and weight of stitches, you can produce some really amazing shading. And that's where I've gone with this. So I'd seen the Royal School of Needlework, their black work.
Yes.
And stunning, absolutely stunning, loved it. And I thought, can I do that? And I thought, well, I don't want to do it in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
What if? Can I push it? Can I change it slightly? So instead of having a defined side of a face with a line, could I show it with shading, with stitches, with that depth and morphing between patterns? So instead of having a solid line between pattern A and pattern B, fills, what about if I take away a stitch here and add a stitch there, and it goes from this pattern to that pattern, and that also adds more depth to it?
But there's intermediate patterns that may or may not be the official ones then? So transitional patterns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as an example, if someone came to me, I get a lot of requests for pets who have passed. They're getting the photos of them converted.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be quite hard, a difficult subject to work through, because you've got to produce something that is beautiful, that someone will want to have as a memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And having that subject look like the image that you have been supplied.
It's
lovely, and it's a really special thing to know that someone trusts you to produce something so difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, because you've got that emotional factor in there, and that is really hard to judge. I don't care who you are or how much you know the people, that emotional thing, and yeah, you can do a beautiful job and have it be a complete failure just because it doesn't hit them right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's challenging. Yep. So the conversions that you do you do them all in black work, or is it a mixture of?
I do all of it in black work.
Okay.
It's all based on a white fabric with just 310, just black.
Yeah.
And then I work with that for how dense the pattern is, how many strands. So it can vary between a single strand, which most black work is done in, and double strand, which gives you that extra depth. So I can do all of that. And then occasionally I produce a full cover, full color black work stitch along. So for example, the one that finished at the end of last year was Memento Mori.
Mm-hmm.
Which had 26 colors, which is surprisingly difficult to show in black work. I don't have the luxury of any of the symbols, unfortunately, that cross stitch does, so I have to try and make my own path.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those stitch-alongs, you have those going quite a bit. The one you have going now with the, I forget the name of it, you'd think I'd write that down, but the various bottles.
The Moonlit Market.
Yes. Say that again without me stomping on you.
The Moonlit Market.
Yes. That is really neat. Now, how do you do your stitch-alongs? Do you, is it a monthly release on Facebook, or how does that go?
The way I do it is it's a weekly release apart from the last Friday of every month, which I let people catch up. Because everyone has a busy life. There's always a lot of stitch-alongs going on, and it's rare that someone is doing just one. So I try to balance what I produce with people getting excited about other designers' stitch-alongs as well.
And the when you do them, do you have an annual one, or do you have multiples during the year?
I normally have multiples in the year. I try to keep it at one stitch-along at a time, apart from for example, the Memento Mori, that went on for about a year and a half with 30 by 30 blocks released every week. Because it was the pattern itself was 250 stitches wide. So it was quite intense. And as far as I'm aware, it hasn't been done before. There's nothing like it. There's no such thing as full coverage black work. Never mind full coverage color black work of an image that is quite familiar.
What if we tried this? Yeah.
and I'm still getting messages now saying, so when's the next one of those coming out?
Oh, so you hit a nerve with some people then.
I think it scratches that itch that you have people who cross stitch, who spend years and years and years stitching a massive, beautiful piece, a full coverage, and they're stunning. And I think this is the step between that and black work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's parts of the Memento Mori stitch along, which very similar to cross stitch, but it's having something that unusual. Yeah. And I actually have one waiting to be released at the moment, which is the same sort of thing, but a design that people will probably be more familiar with.
Okay.
So we're going for Van Gogh's Starry Night for the next one.
Oh my. Okay. That'll be interesting.
It's going to be fun.
Now when you do these stitch alongs, do you view it as a teaching exercise, or is it here's the design, go interpret it and do it your way? Or is there an ongoing exchange with you and people who stitch it?
There is. I tend to, when I'm coming up with a new stitch along, I just need a spark of an idea. And with the current one, I knew I wanted to do something with bottles again. I'd done that Which Does Not Kill Us. I did that a few years ago and I really enjoyed it. And it was one of those designs that it was layered. So people would stitch up the center of the bottle and then they would stitch the bottle over the top of it. Oh. So it was within the bottle. And I thought, I really loved having these little bottles. I saw a picture of an old apothecary cabinet.
Right.
And I just got really excited. My brain was, oh my gosh, okay, we can do an apothecary cabinet and we can have these bottles, but what am I going to put in the bottles?
Right.
And it took me a while to try and work out. I needed a name. It sounds weird. Often I'll come up with the name of a stitch along and then design the contents for the name.
Yeah.
And I was really stuck with the name either. I just couldn't work it out. And then I woke up in the middle of the night.
Of course.
With the name. It's like, right, that's what it's called. And therefore, I know exactly what it is. It's going to be a trip to a goblin market. We're going to have it as a fantasy. And some of the contents will be traditional black work where it's a repeating pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it's going to be little drawings of a dragon or a mandrake or something. And I designed the whole thing in a weekend.
Wow.
the joys of ADHD and hyperfocus.
Couldn't stop. Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah. So when you do these stitch alongs, then you design the entire piece. It's not something that you're doing just ahead of the stitchers. You have an entire piece before it starts.
I have the whole thing designed. And then, because I have ADHD, which I may have mentioned, just before I release something, I think I've got a better way of doing that. And then I sit there and I frog. And I make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really frustrating. Like, why couldn't I come up with this a month ago?
Right.
But it's almost like that deadline of now you need to release it, and the sudden, oh, this 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 will work better. Yeah. This color isn't quite right. This part of the repeating pattern, it doesn't work in the way that I wanted it to work. And now I've got the perfect solution, and now I've got to redo all my work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's something that I'm not always curious about, but I am curious about from an artist's perspective, is how do you know when it's finished?
That's got to
be tough. Yeah, it's got to be tough to just cut yourself off. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be finished 5 minutes before it has to be released. Okay. That is my deadline.
Okay. if I have to rework it all the way up to there, then so be it. All right.
I've done that, and I've cursed myself, and I've said, I'll learn from it. I won't do it again. And then the next week comes along, and I do exactly the same thing.
Okay. At least you know where you're at. You're not.
I've now worked it into my process of you're going to do it anyway, so
just accept it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you teach classes too, or is that not on the board yet?
I don't. I'm not. To be honest with you, I'm. I don't really know many other stitchers locally to me.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my interactions are online with both designers and stitchers. So I'm just now starting to venture into turning up at retreats and meeting real people.
Okay. Retreats just as a regular stitcher or as a presenter of some kind?
At the moment, as a just a regular stitcher.
People need to get you up in front. Yeah.
I'll be the awkward one at the back.
Yep. Well, I would join you there. You can always find me in the back. Yep.
Naughty kids at the back.
Yep. That's right. Yep. No, actually, I just want to hide back there. It's, yeah. Talk about working on dark ground cloth. What techniques do you use, or are you just so adapted to it that you don't need to have white cloth underneath or extra lighting? There must be some tricks you use.
Yeah, I started off with a white towel on my lap underneath the stitch, and I found that it actually started to trigger migraines for me. I'm quite prone to migraines. So when I do stitch, I stitch very slowly to try and prevent those triggering.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that contrast was just, for some reason, it was triggering my migraine. So I thought, right, okay, let's step back and see. Let's just highlight from above so I can still see them, but it's not that sharp a contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to be honest with you now, all I use is a headlamp, one of the ones that people use if they're out cycling or running, because I can change if I need it brighter or darker. I can move the light to where it needs to be, and it's always where I'm looking.
So just the elastic band around the head, little mm-hmm. LED light on your forehead, that's all you need?
Absolutely, yep.
I was ready for some elaborate studio lighting structures. Because yeah, people can do it for a short period of time, but after a while, it gets hard. At least what little I've done, it's just hard to see. Your eyes start to cross.
You do need to make sure that you have regular breaks. So I can stitch 2 to 3 hours at a time, and then I have to take a break anyway to try and prevent migraines kicking in. So it's probably that allows me to stitch on dark fabric as much as I do, mm-hmm. because I have to enforce that movement break anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's good practice for anyone to take those breaks, but you have to be pretty religious about that.
I do. I've got to be careful that I don't get sucked into stitching. too much. But luckily, I have two children, so that rarely happens anyway.
Automatic brakes built in.
Oh,
built
yes.
Into the system. Yeah. Do you prefer black or gray or don't care?
I love black. I love stitching on black. I love designing on black. It gives a really different feel to a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I try to occasionally throw in a design that's meant for lighter colors because not everyone is going to want to stitch on dark colors.
Yeah.
But I always end up with the black again. I just have an affinity for black fabric, I think.
That's all right. Well, when you work on white ground cloths, that's got to be a shock to the system.
Yeah, sunglasses.
Okay, that's a big shock.
I'm not used to the light bouncing back quite as much.
Yeah, I'm sure not. Yeah, it's like, stop this. Yeah. So what is your approach to your business? Is it, do you keep a regular time during the day that you work? Do you have a plan to put out X number of designs in a year, or are you just one of those that just lets it happen when it happens?
A little bit of all of it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I have a Patreon, which forces me to produce designs by a certain point every month,
okay,
which is really useful because I'm a little bit of a chaos goblin.
Mm.
And I could spend a week designing 10 different things. And then I might go 2 weeks where I don't touch designing at all. So to have that as a regular, you have to have it by this time, helps to regulate my design process. Normally, I try to do my work between dropping kids off and picking them up in the evening.
Okay.
Doesn't always work, but there's often other things that have to happen. But I try to make sure that time is specifically for working on the business, working on designs, stitching, reaching out to people, trying to push myself. So at the moment, all of my work is digitally based. So I'm trying to now do the scary step into producing something for shops. So having physical patterns,
mm-hmm,
which is quite daunting for me.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing.
It's a very different market.
Yeah, that whole thing is such an evolving aspect of the hobby anyway, is digital downloads versus printed pieces, and mm-hmm, and you have an audience these days where there's a large number of people, they want the chart they can hold in their hands, and then others, if it's on a screen, they're fine with that. And that's a hard road to migrate or to travel on. I don't envy any of the designers in trying to figure out what's the best way. I don't know.
I think it's highly dependent on the type of design that people do.
Mm.
So a lot of my darker designs probably wouldn't be suitable. However, some of the more fun designs, like the cacti,
mm-hmm,
might turn up in a shop local to you at some point soon.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's just it. When it comes to printed things, now you're finding a printer, developing all the final pieces so they can actually convert it and print it. And yeah, that's a whole series of steps that get added on to just creating the design. Yeah.
It is. And because I'm based in the UK, most of my designs are actually bought in the US. So having that jump to physical patterns means physical patterns in the US and having to navigate how do I do that? How do I get a printer in the US? How do I get someone to then put them in bags in the US and then send them to stores in the US?
Yeah, because shipping, doing it there and shipping, yeah, there goes your chocolate. There's your chocolatier profits right there. Gone.
Yeah, my kids will just eat that profit.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Well, Sean, this is, I really like your art. It's really nice and really enjoyed learning about it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. It's The Urban Stitches.
You got to put the T-H-E. There's no other.
Yeah, theurbanstitches.co.uk. And, of course, there's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and even some TikTok. So, check Sean out there. Sean, thanks again. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thanks, everyone, for listening.